The Blaze Radio Network. On demand. Love. Courage. Truth. Glenn Beck.
Where do we begin today? I guess the quote, he looked lost, absolutely lost. That's the way that James Sneed described the 19-year-old Florida school shooter. He saw him up close. He was led inside of police headquarters in handcuffs. James Sneed and his wife had tried to help the teenager. They had been, they took him in. He was living with them. The shooter's mom, who had adopted him when he was a baby, died last November. His adoptive father died in 2004. So this couple took him in. The latest school shooting in Florida is the ultimate nightmare. And I don't care who you are. It hurts your heart. Our hearts ache for the families of the murdered and injured students. And there aren't any words for this kind of tragedy. It's unreal to me that we're referring to this as the, quote, latest school shooting. We are caught in a vicious cycle of tragedy. And it's dividing us because we're all trying to win. We're pointing fingers, we're blaming, we're making the other side into monsters. When something like this happens, it's natural to scramble to pinpoint something or someone to blame. It's the human way of trying to make sense of a tragedy and trying to make things better. It's the gun, it's the person, it's the FBI, it's the social services, it's the school district. We all want to prevent this, all of us. Those who believe in the Second Amendment and those who don't, we all want to solve this. But nobody has all the answers. And there isn't a single solution. And we as a people are being pushed into ridiculous corners. The political hard left sees no issue other than guns. And you'll notice it's, why won't the Republicans do anything? And the hard political right sees no issue beyond gun rights. They're just coming after our guns. Well, they can argue all they want. But that leaves this huge, deep canyon of problems all in the middle that everyone is refusing to even look at. We're sick as a society. A kid could have walked in the 1960s into any gun store and bought any gun and all the ammunition he wanted at any time and no questions asked. We didn't have shooters. There were more guns per capita 150 years ago than there are now. We didn't have people going in and doing this. Why? What is happening to us? It is clearly not the gun. There is something deeply wrong and ill in our society. Have you heard anybody talk about this one fact? The Florida shooter had something else in common with almost every other single mass murderer in recent years. He grew up without a father. Why aren't we talking about that? The data is so clear about the links between fatherless children and violence and suicide and dropping out of school and drug and alcohol abuse. Of the deadliest mass shootings in the last 15 years, 9 of them were committed by males under 30 years old. 7 of those 9 came from fatherless homes. Now, this isn't to drum up sympathy. Oh, we're trying to make... No, we're not. We're trying to understand it. And obviously, not everybody who grew up without a father has their life ruined, becomes a criminal, becomes a murderer. But America has an epidemic of fatherless homes. And we are only getting worse. We are now saying that every single choice is acceptable when we don't know if that is true. We're conducting a grand experiment on the human race, and we have no idea. Do you know what really, really the effects are of your kids on social media? No, we can guess. I can tell you this. The leaders of Silicon Valley, they don't have their kids on Facebook. They don't have their kids on Instagram. What do they know that we don't? We don't know what that effect will be in 20, 30 years. It may be nothing. How about video games? How about violent movies? Do you know that that you can say all you want, my kids know? Well, they don't. Until they're 24, they don't. The brain is different in children. Do you also know that even your brain, it doesn't separate fact from fiction? You can look at that and go, well, that was a movie. But your brain processes the trauma as exactly the same thing as if you would have seen it firsthand. How many murders have we all seen? How many violent murders have we all seen? Have we even noticed that heads pop on the screen now? That people take headshots and they pop and you see the gore? What? Where were the people that used to say all the time, well, I don't want to see all the gore? That's in everything now. You know, this kid, he shot 2 people in the head. Headshots are pretty difficult. Not only are they difficult in skill level, headshots are also really difficult emotionally. It took us over 100 years to get people to do headshots on the first time shooting a human being. There's so many problems, but can we talk about some of them that we can solve? In 1960, 5% of American children were born out of wedlock. Today, that's over 40. 40. And it's not getting better because marriage means nothing to people. Why does it mean nothing? I hear the lecture my grandmother gave me. Do you think your grandfather and I loved each other all those years? Well, yeah, Grandma, I kind of did. No, marriage is hard. Sometimes we chose just to stick it out because we were married and it meant something. I don't want to bring more anger and divisiveness. Boy, that is the problem. Our society is feeling the stress of more than half a century of this epidemic. So many of our children are lost, and it's getting worse. Look at the depression and suicide rates. It's getting worse. They have no moral compass, no truth to anchor their souls. Our schools, we should remove guns. Well, you've already taught them that you use a finger gun and it's dangerous, and yet it seems to be getting worse because the problem is in the soul. The problem is inside each of us. How many of our kids are growing up without an identity? Or, you know what? A fake identity. They're growing up with a fake identity. Everything is great. You're perfect. You're special. You know what? That's a lie. You're not. I'm sorry. your singing wasn't so good. Let's find some things you are good at. Because everybody's good at something. It's just not everybody is great at that. Our kids don't know who they are. In the U.S., genealogy websites are the second most visited category site after pornography. Genealogy. Why? People are trying to figure out who they are. What is true? Where did I come from? Having a father isn't a guarantee of anything. It's not a cure-all. We make our own choices, we're responsible for our own choices, and there are plenty of abusive or fathers that are in the home but are completely absent. Trying to be a good dad seems like a niche thing these days. Trying to be a good man, I don't even know what that means. How do we expect a teenage boy to understand what a man is when you can't even talk about it? Try to understand what is a man? Tell me, what is a man? What is a good man? Is a good man a guy who picks up the recent Sports Illustrated bikini issue that doesn't have them in bikinis at all, but has, no more hashtag bullcrap written all over their bodies? So we can teach our kids not to objectify women through the objectification of women. Oh my gosh. How do you expect a young man to grow up? How do you expect them to know what's right and what's wrong, what's up and what's down? Our society is running the narrative right now that men are bad, that we don't place cultural value on masculine influence. We think we've evolved beyond the need for fathers. We don't need them anymore because they've done too much damage, you know. And man, you're not off the hook. We have not done ourselves any favors with our behavior. Too many of us. Too many of us are pigs. Too many of us are lazy. Too many of us are absent. And I include myself in these. The unpopular truth is, we need a nuclear family. We need a father. We need to know what a man is. The nuclear family is not something from the 1950s. It's from the beginning of time. It's the bedrock of every society. And our bedrock has deep cracks into it, and it is starting to shake into sand. You want to know what you can do? If you're a dad, dig in and do better. If you have the means, reach out and be a father figure to somebody who doesn't have a father. We can make a bunch of reactionary laws, but laws mean nothing. Eventually, we can all be in a prison, and somebody will still be shivved in the prison because it's not the shiv or the gun, it's what's inside. And these reactionary laws will make us feel better for a while. Because we fixed it. But you cannot legislate the deepest needs of the human soul. And those deepest needs are to be known, to be heard, to have a place, to be accepted, and to be loved.
It's Monday, February 19th. This is the Glenn Beck Program.
Wow, I'm sorry. I had about literally 2 minutes of notes. I didn't realize that I just spent 15 minutes on that.
Well, you had a lot, 3 days of being sick.
I had
a lot to say, apparently.
And I have so much more to say on that. But I'm gonna have to take a quick break, and then we'll come back. I have a ton to say today. Let me tell you about our sponsor this half hour. It's LifeLock. When you thought cyber criminals couldn't stoop any lower, they're now stealing and selling social security numbers and other personal information of infants. Infants. Why? It's actually quite brilliant if you look at it from the thief's point of view. You buy the infant information on the dark web because they have a clean credit history. They could take out a mortgage. They could apply for credit cards. They could receive government benefits. And the crime goes undetected for years because the infant isn't actually applying for anything. And when they do, it's a huge headache for years as they're growing up. There's so many threats that are, you know, happening in our connected world now, but LifeLock is there with identity theft protection that now is adding the power of Norton Security to help protect you against the threats to your identity and your devices. So, you know, those things that you can't easily see or fix, they're there for you. And if there's a problem, their agents will work to fix it. Nobody can stop all cyber threats, prevent all identity thefts, or monitor all transactions at all businesses. But the new LifeLock with Norton Security can uncover the threats that you might miss, most likely will. Go to LifeLock.com or call 1-800-LIFELOCK. Use the promo code BECK for an extra 10% off your first year. That's promo code BECK for an extra 10% off now. LifeLock.com, promo code BECK.
Glenn Beck, Mercury. Glenn Beck.
So I've had a hard time, watching and listening to the arguments back and forth about guns, and I fear we are going to start losing rights. It's only a matter of time before something happens that we're going to start losing our rights. And it's because we're focused on all the wrong things. We're not having an actual conversation. We're letting politics drive the debate instead of science and heart. Politicians are just doing what politicians do, grab more power and fly in to try to solve problems that they can't. Let's listen to a couple of things. Here's first, the guy who is running for president as a member of the GOP. Here's John Kasich.
I was talking to a friend of mine this morning. He's a big gun collector. I said, if all of a sudden you couldn't buy an AR-15, what would you lose? Would you feel as though your Second Amendment's rights would be eroded because you couldn't buy a goddarn AR-15? These are the things that have to be looked at, and action has to happen before. And look, you're never going to fix all of this. But common sense gun laws make sense.
Okay. Okay.
I can't take it.
Okay. So, John, first of all, notice he didn't say what his friend responded. John, it just shows you don't know. If we're going to have a debate on guns, then half of the country must educate themselves. I cannot debate guns if you don't know anything about them. Okay? An AR just looks scary. If I put a wooden stock around that gun, it's the same as all the other rifles. It is a semi-automatic. You know what else is it? That sounds scary. You know what else is a semi-automatic? Everything other than cowboy guns. Let me say it again. Everything other than cowboy guns are semi-automatic. If I have two semi-automatic handguns, which are normal handguns, anything other than a six shooter, I can have, unless you're in New Jersey, 13 rounds in the magazine. If I have two of them, I have almost 30 bullets. That's Common Core math.
Seems like it would be easier to hold two handguns than two AR-15s.
You get rid of the AR-15s. You're going to replace them with something else. It doesn't matter. It is not about the gun. It is not about the gun. And I just cannot take this ridiculous conversation about the AR. The AR has been made into this really spooky weapon. You know what? put wooden stocks on it. And everybody will go, well, then that's fine. That's fine. It's not that spooky gun over there.
He used the word eroded. I might use a different term. Infringe upon might be something.
Wow.
I wonder why I would use that word exactly, but it's an important word.
Glenn Beck. Mercury. You're listening to the Glenn Beck Program.
The Second Amendment was about muskets. Gun control works in other countries. Do you know 40% of all guns sold are sold without background checks? More guns mean more murder. Mass shootings are becoming more and more common. These massacres are unique to America. No civilian needs a weapon of war like the AR-15. Armed guards in schools do nothing. Just look at Columbine. Stop fear-mongering. No one's talking about taking your guns away. All of those are answered in a book that I published 2 years ago, Control. Get it now. You can get it on Amazon. You can download it. Start reading it today. It is every argument to all of these lies. If you want to have a real conversation about what's happening, and I will talk to you about common sense, I will talk to you about things that we can do for people who are mentally ill. If you're mentally ill, okay, let's have that conversation. Should you be able to buy a gun? No. Now, how do we do it? There's a million things that we can talk about before blaming all of this on the AR-15. It's ridiculous. It's ridiculous. But let's have that real conversation. And if you want to have it, you need to be armed with the truth and the facts. The name of the book is Control, the Exposing the Truth About Guns. Make sure you pick it up. You can find it at Amazon right now.
We know the problem is not guns, Glenn. We know the problem are males. That's the problem.
Is that what it is?
It's masculinity. This toxic masculinity that is the problem.
That goes back to my original argument of the hour. Toxic masculinity. What does that even mean? What does it mean to be a man anymore? Listen to this, toxic masculinity.
This is a point that we really have to think about. There's a kind of toxic masculinity at the heart of this gun. This gun culture, rooted in a myth about who we take ourselves to be. America's rugged individualism. The government is not going to protect you. We can protect ourselves, right? And there's a way in which this AR-15 is actually the weapon of the Minuteman, right? There's this old myth around it. So we have to begin to imagine ourselves differently. I think we need a revolution of value in this country.
A myth around that, Glenn.
There's a myth around the Minuteman. There's a myth around the government can't protect you. That's not a myth. The government can't protect you. Tell me how it's protecting these kids in the schools. Government can't protect you. Stu,
mm-hmm.
You know, there hadn't been any shootings at all with a automatic weapon, any mass shooting since the 1920s.
Yeah, and that proves that gun laws can work.
It does.
Because what's happening here is they banned the automatic weapons, and now you're seeing these mass shootings, but you're not seeing them without these automatic weapons anymore. None of them are happening with automatic weapons, and that proves that gun laws can work.
But wait, the mass shootings are happening.
They're not just with automatic weapons, because we banned them.
But doesn't that prove that if you ban something, go ahead.
That if you ban something, then the shootings will stop with that thing.
Yes, but yeah. They will just start picking up something else to do those mass shootings.
This is a legitimate point the left is making right now.
I know.
Look, if you banned automatic weapons, these shootings went away. Well, is your point to stop mass shootings with the AR-15? Because maybe you would, I guess. I mean, there's 10 million of them out there. But maybe you would cut back on mass shootings with AR-15s. You just increase them with handguns or shotguns or whatever other weapon of choice. Whatever thing you didn't ban or whatever was already out there, that's how the mass shootings would occur.
Why didn't we ban planes? Why didn't we ban planes 20 years ago? Why didn't we do that? Because it's not the plane. It's not the plane. It's the person in control of the plane. That's why.
And that's, it's sort of a cultural thing too, right? Mass shootings are more common here than in other countries, though per capita, those numbers are blown way out of proportion. But it's like, if you look at here, we mentioned in the break about how assassinations were a big thing in the 60s and 70s, right? Mm-hmm. Here, and we took steps and we were able to do things to slow them down. But also, they lost their sort of cultural zeitgeist, right? They were not the thing. Now, mass shootings are the thing here, but they're not the thing everywhere else. You know, suicide has been a cultural thing in Japan forever. It's why their suicide rate, despite the fact they have no guns at all, is higher than ours, right? Suicide bombers in the Middle East are the cultural way that really bad people take out their whatever they want to get out of their system to kill other people. And there they do it with car bombs and suicide vests. You have to obviously try to minimize these things, but you're not going to stop if you take away the guns. I mean, the biggest mass shooting in history, I should clarify, all of the biggest mass shootings in history are from governments against their unarmed populace. So we take those out, though. If we eliminate, I don't know, the 100,000 examples of the biggest mass shooting being a bunch of governments who just shot a bunch of the people that didn't have guns. If we take all of those out, the biggest mass shooting in history is in Norway, where there was no one. There's no guns to get. Somehow, a guy got a gun, and he still shot 90 people or whatever it was.
And the problem with that was they were sitting ducks, and there was no help coming.
No.
This guy who talked about the toxic masculinity and the myth of who we are. Let's make sure that we understand myths. It's a myth. I cannot tell a lie. I did, Father, chop down the cherry tree. That's a myth. Why we tell a lie to teach kids about how honest someone is remarkable to me. That's a myth. The Minuteman, that's not a myth. The idea that we are rugged individualists that don't wait for the government, that's who we are. Now, that's not who everybody else is, but that's who we are. At least that's who we were. Progressives have been trying to change that forever. Now, we can have that conversation, but let's have it honestly. That is who we always have been up until probably the last 50 years when it's really started to grind. Half of the country still wants to be that. The other half doesn't. Well, we have to have that conversation. It's not a myth. The other thing was that he said was, you know, this myth that the government can't save you. Let me play another. This is the chief of police, I think, from Broward County.
Polk County. In Florida.
Listen to this.
There's no absolutes in life, but I can tell you this. At least two coaches were killed standing in front of and trying to protect kids. Don't you believe it would be a game changer if they had a gun to defend the children? I do. Here's the basic math. The average shooter is finished with his evil deed in 2 to 5 minutes. We study these things. In fact, in Broward County, it was 3 minutes. The average police response is plus 5 minutes. When 911s call, the shooter is on the campus wreaking havoc. That's too late. We have got to wake up.
The first responder, that term, first responders, that's from Jimmy Carter. America, you have to understand, you are the first response. Do you know one of the things that we can do to stop these shooters? And this is not a solution. This is a temporary band-aid. The solution is, let's look inside of our culture and find out what is rotting us to the core. What is causing children to want to kill children? There's something really wrong here, and it's not the gun. There's something really wrong here. Okay. Here's what you do. You tell all of the school children, and you run drills. You tell all of the school children, if somebody comes into the classroom with a gun, everybody, no matter what you have, your book bag, your books, your pencils, your pens, whatever you have you immediately throw it, all of you, as a class, you all throw everything you have at it. And whoever is closest, those four people, whoever closest, get him. Now, that will take most of the shooting down to maybe one or two killed. Well, we don't want to do that because we're not going to tell. What if it was your kid that was told, get him? Well, he's the first responder. He's running to protect his life. Didn't we hold those people up on the plane that crashed in Pennsylvania? Didn't we hold those guys up who said, get him? We did. They were the first responder. There was no help coming. No. Stay in your seat. Wait until we get on the ground. You're not going to get on the ground. The person who's walking into that room is planning on killing as many as he can. Get him. Instead, we teach our kids to hide and wait for 5+ minutes. They are done with their shooting between 2 and 4 minutes. So there is no first response there. You either put armed people in the schools or you teach the kids to stand up and defend themselves because the police cannot make it in time because they're not the first responders. They're the second responders. You are the first. Do you know how many kids we have lost in fires in schools, mass school fires, and since the 1950s? I don't think any. We have fire drills all the time. How many of us have mass shooter drills? That's much more dangerous right now than fires. How many have mass shooter drills? And are the drills doing exactly the same thing in their minds that, let's be honest, if you're my age, when we had a nuclear drill, that we had a missile launch, does anybody remember these? It was crawl under your desk. Now, I remember those were big, heavy steel, American-made steel desks when steel was steel. I remember how heavy those things were. But even in the second grade, I remember thinking, this isn't going to help. Don't look at the flash. We're going to burn to death. What the hell is that? Crawl under my desk. You don't think our kids are thinking the same thing? Let's give our kids a chance. Let's stop with the myth that the police are the first responders, because they're not. Let's stop with the myth that this is because of guns, because it's not. Are there some common sense things we can do to make sure that disturbed people do not have guns? Yes. Let's have that conversation. But that should not be the end of the conversation. I don't even think that should be the beginning of the conversation. The beginning of the conversation is, what's happening to us? What's happening to our children? That's the beginning of this conversation. Notice nobody's willing to start there. You know, Hollywood really, they rallied around cigarette smoke. It's giving cancer. It's killing people. Cancer sticks. They've rallied. Nobody's going to smoke. They even put it in the ratings. Second, I've seen it. PG-13 or whatever. Secondhand smoke. Okay, it's in the ratings now. But when they wanted to stop America from smoking, they stopped glamorizing it. They stopped putting it in all of the movies. Hollywood, if you're so serious, stop all movies that glorify guns. Only use guns in war movies. Let only the good guys, the police, have guns. But don't glorify it. Don't glorify the shooting of people. You won't do it. And you know why? Because you'll lose too much money. Hypocrites. All right, you want a great night's sleep? Grab a Casper mattress. a great night's sleep every single night. Team of engineers at Casper has worked nonstop prototyping, collecting data, and engineering what is certainly the most comfortable mattress that is on the market today. It is a unique combination of foams that provides the right pressure at the right points for relief from pain and get you into the right alignment so you feel perfectly balanced and comfortable. And thanks to the breathable material, you're guaranteed to sleep cool. Plus, the mattress is built to last years. So try a Casper out for yourself. There's no way you can try these things out in stores. It's ridiculous. You lay there in your clothes and you're like, I don't know, it's fine. And you get it back at your house and you've after like 5-6 nights, you're like, I hate this thing. That's why Casper wants you to try it out for 100 nights in your own home risk-free. They're going to ship it to you in a free compact box. You try it out. If you don't love it, just return it. And by the way, you don't have to return it. They'll come, pick it up. They'll refund every single penny. No questions asked. President's Day is not only a day, you know, to shop, right? Because that's what the presidents would. Lincoln and Washington would have been so proud to have this as shopping day. We're remembering you two. They're going to save you long lines in all of our President's Day shopping. You're going to save $125 on purchases over $1,250 and $200 on purchases over $2,000 right now. Take advantage of this special limited time by going to Casper.com. Casper.com. Terms and conditions do apply at Casper.com. Promo code Beck.
Glenn Beck. Mercury. Glenn Beck.
Welcome back to the program. Tonight we have a beginning of a series on the Blaze TV at 5 o'clock that I urge you to see. These are three of the most powerful women I have ever met that have. They are the opposite, quite honestly, of what's happening in our society. They are not victims. They refuse to be called victims. Women that were literally chained by the neck as slaves. And their amazing story of escape and recovery begins tonight at 5 o'clock on the Blaze TV.
Glenn Beck, Mercury. Love. Courage. Truth. Glenn Beck.
I want you to put yourself in his situation for a second. The traffic was unbearable. He had heard the news. He felt, as a dad, it's going to take forever before I could get to the high school. Police cars and police officers dotted every foot of the asphalt. He rolled down the window and he held out a picture of his daughter, Meadow, on his phone to the passing officers. Have you seen her? This moment of this dad holding up a photo of his daughter was captured and posted on social media. I think most people saw a father barely hanging on to the last bit of hope that he had that his daughter had survived the shooting. Some only saw his Trump 2020 t-shirt. The reactions were instant. I don't feel sorry for him. And F Trump. Maybe he should have thought twice before voting for hashtag terrorist Trump. Andrew eventually found Meadow. It was every parent's worst nightmare. She was one of the victims of the shooting. And yet the comments continued to pour in. He's pro-Trump, which means he supports the guy who's responsible for the death of his child. How did we get here? How are we not noticing how callous we're becoming to each other, both sides? We now live in a world where it's easier to choose cynicism over compassion, where a snarky remark is more satisfying than a kind word. You can blame it on our phones and our computers.
Well, they allow us to, you know, be our worst self.
Really? The computer does that? Or are we doing that? Both sides use the screen as a shield, and we hurl grenades at our perceived enemies. How are we blind to the despair in Andrew Pollack's eyes? How are we blind to the despair in anyone who is suffering in this country? Left, right, in the middle, it doesn't matter. How is it we're only seeing labels or t-shirts? I thought about this a lot this weekend. I'm going to say some pretty unpopular things, and I want you to listen and stew on it today. It's pride. It's arrogance. We are so arrogant. We are so proud that our side has the answer. We're too proud to see past our insignificant differences with each other. It's pride. It's otherness. If we can't get past our political opinions, how are we ever going to get past the big stuff? We have become so proud that we have the answer and that our answer will alter the very fabric of humanity. We're so proud that we really believe that we can legislate violence out of civilization. Violence is a consequence of the gift of free will. And the poison in our soul is also a consequence of the gift of free will. We are not God. We don't have all of the answers. We've got to stop making this about political positions and see each other again. And the only way that'll happen is if we humble ourselves. But to me, over the last few days, the only thing that has been screaming at me is God will have a humble people. We need humility now more than ever. Because we're all so convinced that we are right, that we are stopping, we are not allowing ourselves to see the basic thread of humanity in others.
It's Monday, February 19th. This is the Glenn Beck Program.
I want you to ponder this. Today, we all began to lose the minute we decided we had to win. Most things, I think, that come from an eternal perspective. You know, the phrase,
God works in mysterious ways.
Yeah, he really does. Not really mysterious to him, but mysterious to us, because sometimes they just don't make any sense. We all began to lose the minute we decided we had to win. What? Universal laws go against, I think, man's basic nature. And that's the point. That's the point. We're not animals. Well, technically we are. But our brain and our free will gives us the ability to be something bigger than that. But for some reason, we are convinced, and we are convincing ourselves, and our culture is convincing ourselves to just be your base animal. Just go for it. What feels good, do it. That's the opposite of where we should be headed. Who's pointing up? Who's saying be that? Let's reach for the stars. There's something bigger. There's something brighter. There's something better. Our arrogance has become so profound. We are all so busy looking down at someone or down on something. And that's our problem, because when you spend your whole life looking down, you're never looking up to see what's above you, to see what's in front of you, to see what's possible. Everyone is teaching you, look down on them. We all began to lose the minute we decided we had to win. Lose your life to gain your life? What? When I was younger, I searched for certainty. I feared doubt. I don't want to have doubt. I want certainty. I find myself in a weird position to where I now fear certainty. And I find profound answers in doubt. It is our arrogance and our certitude. Certitude is the mortal enemy of tolerance. I'm right. They're wrong. Well, if they're wrong, then they have nothing to teach me. They just have to sit down and listen. Tell me how that has worked with any of your children. My children have taught me a ton. I learned something from my son just this weekend as we were having a father and son discussion where everything in me wanted to throw him up against the refrigerator. And I told him that. I am about to throw you against the refrigerator, and I don't think that's a wise idea. So why don't we take it down a notch? And we did. I learned humility. I stopped trying to win. If there's only certainty, then there is no doubt. And without doubt, there's no need for faith. There's no mystery. Doubt is what breathes life into our faith. And how often do we speak and do we argue about things that we really don't know? You've regurgitated from something that you've heard. And I don't know. I can't make the... Why can't you make the case? It's your job to make the case. And if you can't make the case, stop trying to make the case. How many times have we spoken with absolute certitude? I know these things are going to happen. I know this is true. Only to later have a deeper understanding, a different understanding. Did we notice that our certitude was misplaced? How many times have we fought for our beliefs? Not knowing or not recognizing or not giving the ultimate power to the idea that the truth cannot be vanquished. I may lose this battle, but the truth will win. Humility is a surrender to the truth. Because no matter how our battle goes, the truth wins. How often do we fight? How often do we get on Facebook and say horrible things to each other? Well, I'm not saying horrible things. They're saying horrible things. I've got to defend it. I mean, but we've got to. We can't lose this. Losing's not an option. How many times have you thought it has to be this way and then you lose? I have to have this job. I cannot lose this. I cannot. And then you do. You lose it. You don't get it. And you're convinced that's the worst thing ever. And years later, you go, man, if that would have happened, that would have been the biggest mistake ever. Our certitude is our enemy. I've pondered a lot this weekend. My God, why have you forsaken me? This is the guy that Christians believe is God. This is a guy who doesn't doubt. He knows. He doubted. He doubted for a fraction of a second. I'm alone. Why have you forsaken me? What did he do? He didn't surrender to his doubt, but he surrendered to victory because the die was already cast. The truth will win. Surrender. Humility is seen as a weakness, and I don't understand that. For a so-called God-fearing nation, I don't understand how we see humility as a weakness, how we see surrender as a weakness. Humility is not a weakness. It is the key that unlocks the ultimate power of God, the ultimate power of Christ, the ultimate power of the universe, whatever you want to call it. It is the ultimate power. What is Luke trying to do to Darth Vader? Surrender. Just surrender. Dad, put your sword down, man. I get to take your mask off in the end. You're going to smile at me and say it was all great. You saved me. All you did was surrender. We can respond to our unfair treatment. We can respond to people who are unkind without being bitter. Humility means you don't have the need for vengeance or revenge. Humility means you don't have to act like you're bigger than you are. The better you understand humility, the more you know God, the less you have to prove. Being humble doesn't mean that you're a pushover. The most humble man that ever lived was Christ, and he threw the table over in the temple. The money changers. It doesn't mean you don't speak with directness. It means that you've checked yourself and you're speaking with kindness. You're speaking to another human being that doesn't agree with you, and you realize they may have something to teach me. In fact, I'm sure they do. So let's have a conversation. Again, you're left with a paradox. The smaller you become, the more meek you become, the quieter you become, the more effective you become. It actually means that in the end, with humility, you're the winner, even though you may have lost that battle. America needs to understand a few things. One is that we're more vulnerable to disaster than ever before. FEMA has admitted failure. They did this in December, I think like the 17th, right before Christmas, when everybody was paying attention to FEMA. They said they're broke. FEMA is broken, and don't wait for us, the next crisis, because we're not going to be able to do that. Okay, so what does that mean? That means you are the first responder. Make sure your family is ready. Build an emergency food supply today and use My Patriot Supply, the trusted name for self-reliance. A two-week emergency food supply is going to get you started now for this week only. The kits are on sale for $67 each. It's a savings of $50. 2 weeks of emergency food supply for $67. Order now at 1-800-977-0542 or online at preparewithglenn.com. My Patriot Supply, 800-977-0542 or preparewithglenn.com.
Glenn Beck, Mercury. Glenn Beck.
Facebook and Twitter, I'm not sure. I think if it wasn't for this job, I don't think I would be on it. I don't.
Yeah.
It makes me feel awful. It makes me believe less in people.
Yeah, that's the part that I've recently crystallized to me, is that it's not just that people say dumb things or that like there's annoying people out there. It makes me have less of a hope for the future of the country, for the future of humanity, because you see these people constantly saying things that it's almost like there's no possible way they could believe them. They're just, you know, angry, vicious points that don't make any sense, and they defend to the death. And it's like, if those are the people in the real world, we have no chance. And I think it's a somewhat emotional response to it, in that like I really hope at least that those aren't really how people are. People are maybe different on the internet and they don't care as much. I know Tanya,
if I could use the internet like Tanya does, she's just connected with her family and friends. I don't ever really hear her get outraged on the internet. She's always laughing because her friends will always send her, you know, funny cat videos or right. whatever. And so she's always laughing. We will sit next to each other and I'll be reading stuff for work. She'll just be going through Facebook for her friends and stuff. She'll be laughing and I'll be like, oh my gosh, I can't take this anymore. Yeah. It's a totally different experience.
Yeah, I know. I was following The Onion, one of the Onion sites.
Yeah.
I added a couple of theirs to my Twitter feed.
Yeah.
And I realized that that's the only thing that I ever get in there that I really like laugh at. And it's a lot of time just completely nonsensical, but I don't get any of that from the internet. I don't get any of the good things that it's supposed to deliver.
We should destroy it.
Yeah, destroy it. Ban it. Ban it now. I don't like it.
Glenn Beck, Mercury. This is the Glenn Beck Program.
So I see Black Panther over the weekend.
Apparently with everyone else in America. Over $200 million it's made already.
Really good. Now, I sat in the fourth row, so I have to go see it again because I haven't seen a movie in the fourth row since I was about 8. And I saw it on a big, you know.
Oh, like, wow.
And it was a little distorted. It was like I went and I was drunk. It was like, I think that somebody just killed somebody.
Did you go to a theater with no assigned seating? That's not very Glenn Beck-ish.
No, I did. It was the only ones we could find. The only seats we could find. Mm. So we went and I really, it was strange because let me speak as a white man here. The one thing that, and Stu and I were just talking about this, I guess I don't understand the idea that there are no black superheroes or anything. I just never noticed it.
Yeah, it's our white privilege, Glenn.
Yeah, I know.
In a weird way, that's like a real example of it. In that, like, I honestly, when they were like, oh, the black superhero coming out, like, I never noticed there weren't any. Or were there none? I don't know. Will Smith was in a movie, except he was a drunk superhero.
Yeah,
he
was black. And that was horrible.
I didn't think it was horrible. I thought it was okay.
All right.
But I'm not a big superhero fan anyway, so yeah. I'm not in that world where I dissect it like a lot of people do.
So it is, you know, the strength that came from Africa and, you know, all of this stuff that is like Thor. You know, I'm watching it and I'm like, okay, this is It's kind of like Thor, you know, they're, you know, the mythological gods that came down and, you know, okay, so I guess the super, super white people had Thor and, then, you know, African Americans have Black Panther. So I guess, but I really liked it. I was struck that it is probably the most healthy movie I have seen in a very, very, very long time.
Healthy?
I do. I think it is. First of all, it's the story. I mean, this is.
Oh no! Are we going to go into Glenn? In case you're not someone who listens, you know, you're someone who's just tuning in for the first time and hearing, yeah. You're like, hey, I want to see Black Panther.
And no, I'm not going to say that. I'm not going to blow anything.
Oh, you'll blow something because you always blow something of every right. movie you talk yeah. about.
Right.
So this is your warning. If you're going to go see it this week and you're worried about spoilers, you should
spoil it.
You say that every time, and every time you say, look, this doesn't give anything away, but obviously the guy dies at the end. And
well, you just wrecked it.
I don't even know who the guy is.
All right. So here's what I was going to say. This is, you know, the world according to me. I think this was the story of Malcolm X and Martin Luther King. Both thought they had really good points. One was right. One was wrong. One won. One didn't. But it's the same argument of Martin Luther King and Malcolm X. And I thought it was really important. If you stay after the trailers or you know, stay after the titles, you know, they always give you a preview of the next movie. That should be played at the top of the hour of every cable news broadcast on the Whitey White Network and BET should be played in its entirety at the top of every hour until we get it. I mean, it's good. It's a good message. And it's not the message that we're hearing everywhere.
And suddenly, because your description of it make it seem like it's somewhat uniting, and yet it's being used as this divisive thing where
it's very uniting.
White people are saying, I don't want to suck the black joy out of the room by going to the movie as a white person. White people are...
As a white person, you're going to learn things about black culture, I guess, that maybe you didn't really see. Maybe you've heard, but you didn't. It speaks a different language and one that you can understand. And you're like, I never thought of it that way exactly. I never noticed that.
That's interesting, and it's still, but it's not a message movie, right? I'm not going to go in there and like.
I think it is a message movie, but it's a message you'll like.
But also it's a good movie.
Oh yeah, right? It's a great movie. There's
good action scenes. It's a good superhero.
It's great
movie.
Just the visuals on it are great. I think it's even going to change. I think it will change clothing. I think you will see clothing styles in the African American community change, and if not. You get that one for free. Anybody who is in the clothing industry for African American,
we have a huge textile industry here that listens to the show.
I'm telling you that the costuming, I think, will change fashion.
I was watching the slam dunk contest, which I'm sure you did as well.
Oh my gosh,
this
yeah.
weekend! But one of the guys put on a Black Panther mask for one of his dunks. It's one of those things that's really penetrating beyond.
It's
movies
I don't think I really understood it until I went and I was like, okay, come on. There's been black casts before. There's been, you know, not like this. This is groundbreaking. This is a history making movie. And because of that, it will win every single award. But it is also really good. So. I'm just thinking if I should. Let me go to the Olympics for a second.
Uh-oh.
Yeah.
Are you talking sports? This is never a good idea.
Yeah, I know.
So you're gonna ruin movies and talk sports at the same break?
I can't take it. Okay, so here's the thing. Have you ever seen Johnny Weir? You know who Johnny Weir is? You're not watching the Olympics at all.
I have watched 0 minutes of the Olympics.
So I don't care about Johnny Weir, and I don't care about anything.
Who is he? Can you explain?
He's a Olympic figure skater, I guess.
Okay.
And they're making a really big deal out of this guy whose politics are uber left. He's the one of the American skaters.
This is the guy.
I'm not going to make my whole thing about Mike Pence, and it's like, what?
Right? Yeah.
Okay, that guy.
Yeah.
What a jerk he is. Okay. First of all, yeah, he set himself off there for me, and I was like, okay, I got it. I know who you are. Then he did an interview after one of his skates. The lady was interviewing him, and he said, well, she said, what were you thinking? And he said that he very sarcastic, that I had to do this interview because you're wearing a necklace, that is a statement piece. And she was like, okay, but what were you, back to your skating, what were you thinking? And he said, I'm not here to explain witchcraft. Okay, shut up. Shut up. Can you be a normal human being for a second?
Right.
All right.
You might note that this is your 15 minutes of fame that will lead to probably all of your income for the next 30 years.
While he's skating, Johnny Weir is this guy. He's very flamboyant, and it's not that I don't care. I don't care. I don't care how he dresses or anything else. It's just that nobody is, I think, allowed to notice. He's dressed like a woman. He looks like a woman. He's wearing, you know, a woman's top and a jacket and the everything, and he looks like a woman. And my kids walk in and they're like, I didn't know who Johnny Weir was. Dad, is that a man or a woman? And I said, yes. I don't know.
The proper answer is, how dare you children
even notice?
How dare you?
So here's the thing. Johnny Weir, apparently everybody knows who he is. I'm out of touch. Everybody knows who he is. So Johnny Weir has always been this way. He's very flamboyant. When this guy is skating, this other guy is skating, they're making such a big deal out of him being, groundbreaker. And they're never saying that he's gay. Just say he's gay. And he's, and everybody knows he's gay. Whatever. But it's not like we've never had gay skaters before. I mean, it's like, Johnny, you skated. I mean, and I don't think you were fooling anyone. I mean, if he were in the closet at the time, nobody believed it. Nobody believed it. Mm-hmm. And I don't know why it is such a big deal now. And he was talking about the bravery of him. And how is it brave? How are you brave if everyone in your in the power circles agree with you, endorse you, hold you up as a hero? That's not bravery. Johnny, you were brave. You were brave. You know, if you would have come out, or you were as flamboyant as you were being brave when it wasn't okay to be gay. Now it's not bravery. Just let the man skate. Let the man skate.
And,
just skate.
And not make it about his sexuality.
Right. And let's not make it about politics or anything. Just skate, damn it. Skate.
Like, for example, it's not necessarily a brave act to be an African-American baseball player today, but man, Jackie Robinson was freaking
exactly
brave.
Exactly right.
Right? Like,
exactly right.
So you're, yeah. So it's perhaps across that threshold where
it will not be brave to make a black superhero movie with an all black cast and all black behind the scenes. That won't be brave.
In 10 years, that's not going to be brave.
Yeah.
Right.
It is now. Right. Yeah. It's not then. And I don't know. Maybe it was just me. I mean, I'm still mourning the loss of, the USSR that we, I had something to root for. Now it's like, I don't know. I mean, I guess the Finns are okay. I don't know.
Well, you have the Olympic athletes from Russia.
Yeah.
Which, by the way, are not the Russian Olympic team. Those are just Olympic athletes that happen to come from Russia.
Not the team. By the way, there's something else I don't understand. Well, I don't understand curling in the first place. But the Olympic athletes from Russia were caught using steroids on the curling team. Now, I don't know about anybody else, but curling, I think, could be done with a beer in your hand. I don't know why. Why are you doing steroids? You slide. That's all. It's really all you're doing. I don't. Again, I shouldn't talk sports ever. So we have a farm, and we have cows and chickens and everything else, and you need a good truck, but you know, at least for me, I want trucks where the doors will fall off eventually. Not now, but eventually I'll drive it until the doors fall off. And so I have a couple of old trucks, and they're reaching the age now where, you know, you start to worry things are going to start going wrong. The doors might actually fall off. This is why I have it, an extended vehicle service protection from CarShield. Getting covered by CarShield is a really great idea because it has affordable protection that can save you thousands of dollars on a covered repair. New fuel pumps, $500. Water pump, $1,000. There was a little sensor that did something. It's $1,000. You got to be kidding me. Can you just cut that wire? I mean, I'm cool with that. If you have a car that is out of warranty, get it covered with CarShield, their extended coverage. You can get it to your favorite mechanic, or you can, take it to the dealer. It doesn't matter. They pay them directly, so you don't have to wait for a check in the mail. Sign up today. You'll get 24/7 roadside assistance and a rental car while yours is in the shop. Do what I have done. Save yourself from high repair bills. Get covered by CarShield. Before something goes wrong, call 800-CAR-6100, 800-CAR-6100. Make sure you mention the promo code Beck, or visit carshield.com. Use the promo code Beck and save 10%. That's carshield.com, promo code Beck. Deductible may apply.
Glenn Beck, Mercury. Glenn Beck.
My daughter was telling me about a store she went into here in the Dallas area over the weekend, and they've decided to sell only products that are made without slave labor. And she was talking to the lady, and she said, the number one thing that people come in and say, what do you mean made with slave labor? There are no slaves anymore. And she said she had to explain to so many people, it's a bigger problem than it's ever been. There are more slaves today in chains than there were in the 400 years of the Western slave trade
combined.
Yeah, combined. I mean, that's remarkable. On Wednesday, we are going to give you a report of some of the things that are being done in the Middle East to slaves regarding organ harvesting. No one is talking about this. We have done a study on it, and it's pretty hair-raising. We'll tell you about that. And tonight is a three-part special, and it is three women that I met in Mexico City that were literally chain around their necks slaves, and their stories are just unbelievable. But it's the reason why I have them on TV this week is because their story of recovery, they are the strongest women I have ever met. From slaves to literally Forbes 100 most powerful women in Mexico. They're remarkable, remarkable. And to see their story, and to, I asked them each to hold up a blank piece of paper at the end. And they said their name, and they said, you know, my name is so-and-so, and I was a slave, but I write my story. My life story is a blank page, and only I can write it. That's a totally different message than what's happening now.
Yeah. I mean, Me Too is a message of victimization. It's important. There's a lot of things that are happening that are really positive out of it. But this idea that, you know, this terrible thing happened to me too is the opposite message of what these women in Mexico dealt with. And all of their stories are far worse than I think anything that we've heard. We're talking torture over a period of years.
You will be inspired.
Yeah.
horrified for a couple of minutes, but inspired by these women. Tonight, 5 o'clock, only on the Blaze TV.
Glenn Beck. Mercury. Love. Courage. Truth. Glenn Beck.
This is... This is an amazing day. We now have few of the details on what could be possibly the largest and most successful intelligence operation aimed against our country in decades. And I don't think anybody's really paying attention to it. The Mueller investigation is finally delivering. Now, this is what we've been waiting for and quite frankly, desperately needing ever since the intelligence community assessment was released to the public over a year ago. There's a 37-page indictment. It names 13 individual Russians and 3 Russian businesses. The operation involved multiple shell companies in order to mask their actions and hide the funding. Several hundred employees worked around the clock on shifts, on social media shifts and the internet. In addition to that, several agents were sent to the United States to gather intelligence. In some cases, political rallies were actually organized and promoted thousands of miles away from offices in St. Petersburg, Russia. Now, this could be a galvanizing moment in our country. We have been attacked by a hostile country. We know the names and the faces and the people that did it. But are we going to let that stop us from bickering? Of course not. The left is saying, see, Putin loved Trump, gave him the election. The right will say, this proves Trump is innocent. Fake news, fake news, fake news. And we won't get anywhere. First of all, let me say this. If anybody actually believes 13 Russians swung the election, they're delusional. If anybody swung the election, it's Mueller himself. It's Comey that did it. Trump won because he appealed to millions of people who have been ignored for years. You can like it or not like it. It doesn't matter. That's the fact. He ran also against the worst candidate in modern history. That's why he won. To say the Russians love Trump is completely misreading the evidence. Yes, they supported his campaign, but they also supported Bernie Sanders and Jill Stein. Basically, they supported anyone other than Hillary. They were A-OK with anyone but Hillary. The Russians, more importantly, wanted us to doubt our government, doubt our own ears and eyes, doubt what we think we knew. They want chaos. They want us to eat one another. If we weren't so polarized and the media wasn't, you know, the one with a giant fork, we would easily see this. Friday's indictment was a critical first step in finding out what happened, but we as a country now need to work on fixing whatever it is that made this so easy for the Russians to pull off. Our political blinders must come off, both the right and the left. We have to come together and heal. If we don't, we are setting ourselves up for a bigger attack very, very soon.
It's Monday, February 19th. This is the Glenn Beck Program.
Michelle Myers is a mom of 7. She lives in Buckeye, Arizona. She's a former Texas beauty queen. She has never left the United States. That's an important fact to remember when we speak to her. She has been diagnosed at the Mayo Clinic with a couple of diseases. One of them is Ehlers-Danlos syndrome, and that causes her to easily bruise, rupture blood vessels, painful joints. Her joints are easily dislocated. It's really, really painful. The other thing she has, I had never heard of, and I gotta believe for anybody who has been to the doctor over and over and over again, they're like, well, I can't see anything here. This has to be really frustrating. She has blinding headaches, but in 3 different occasions, she has woken up the first time with an Irish accent. She had that for a while. The second time, she had an Australian accent. And now she has a British accent. I gotta believe people would say she's faking it. No, she has a rare disease. It's the, what is it? The foreign accent. I can't remember. Foreign accent syndrome. I didn't even know it existed. And she's here to tell us about it. Hello, Michelle. How are you?
Hello, Mr. Beck. Good morning.
How weird is it for you to sound, as you describe, like Mary Poppins, and you're not trying to?
No, not at all. First, I want to say thank you so much for giving me this opportunity to speak for people whose voices, pun intended, are not being heard exactly. Second, the Mary Poppins thing definitely came from everyone who makes me think that I'm from somewhere else. But I'm not. I'm a very proud American daughter.
So, Michelle, how this? You literally just wake up and you were Irish. How long do these spells usually last?
The very first one was in 2011. And actually, a lot of people, I really want to make this clear. Some people think I kind of fell asleep and woke up innocently and, you know, like Mary Poppins, skipped off into the sunset. But that's not exactly how it happened. I actually have what's called hemiplegic migraines, which paralyze you down the side, can cause blindness in the eye. It's also very painful, aside from the Ehlers-Danlos and other things. So I laid down because I had a headache. I had thrown up. I could barely see in my eye. So I laid down because when I told my doctor that I didn't feel well, he kept telling me I had hormone problems. So I didn't go back to see him. So next thing I knew, I popped up and it was like, I tried to say a child's voice. All of a sudden, this Irish sound came out of my face and I was just shocked.
Okay. I know there are millions of people in America that have, have diseases and have problems that nobody can diagnose. And they just feel, I mean, you get to a point to where you're like, look, I'd rather have you tell me that I have cancer than you got nothing, you know, because you just like, I'm not making this up, man. How long did the doctors immediately know, or did doctors start to say, okay, Michelle, I mean,
yeah.
Did they know automatically what this was? Because
no,
I've never heard of this.
And I never, a Mayo Clinic and some other people have made reports about it, but I never went to the Mayo Clinic. Some of that's getting reported.
Okay.
And it's just because different facilities are commenting on the story, so it can kind of get messed up there.
Sure. Okay.
But honestly, I didn't go to the doctor for years because I literally thought I was crazy. I thought that something was mentally just wrong with me, which is what everyone thinks.
Yeah.
The other thing is, it's not, I don't know why, it was coined in 1907 by a neurologist with the last name Murray, Pierre Murray. And he called it foreign accent syndrome because what you hear from me sounds kind of sing-songy and it sounds like I'm from somewhere else. However, it is a speech impediment due to something that traumatic happens to your body. So you wouldn't tease someone who has a stutter. We would all be in like a tizzy about it. But when there's people like me, and there are other people like me, I know them personally. We've met through social media and things. And we get thrown under the bus by physicians and doctors and healthcare people. And we asking for help. It's not just me. I speak for a little microcosm of people who have had this happen. So yes, my doctors, they sent me to a neuropsychologist, a psychiatrist, you know, all that stuff.
So just one more question on this, and then I'll go a little deeper with you. But did you... I mean, it's a consistent accent, so it's not like a stutter or a slurred speech or anything. It's a consistent accent. Before it was Irish and then Australian, was there any influence in your life that put that, or is it just really mechanical?
No, it truly, I've had people even contact me and say, Michelle, your DNA has memory and cells, so perhaps what's happened is some type of reset, some divine reset has happened. There's also been some weird people that are like, I see a dead English woman wrapped up in your body. None of that. Some guy actually contacted the news here, and they let me know he wants to do an exorcist on me because he saw some dead lady from Britain. I'm like, no, Jesus took care of that. I don't have that. It's frustrating because people think that it is consistent, but people in the FAS community, we have a little community, our accents will sometimes be thicker and sometimes be less of thick. And sometimes it depends on if we have migraines, headaches, or another stroke, some traumatic thing that happens to your brain in any way, neurologically at all, it can change. It can change sounds. It as well can change intensity as well.
Can this just go away on you? Can you? Can
I,
you?
I haven't had mine leave in 3 years. The very first one, the Irish one, lasted 8 days, and then the next one lasted for just barely like an afternoon. And then in 2015, in May, it's been 3 years. It'll be three years in May.
It's fascinating. Because you have it's very consistent.
Yeah.
But you'd have to have the knowledge of the accent, right? Like people who grow up with an English accent, because they're hearing it constantly. And obviously, you've heard English accents in your life, but to be able to apply it to every word you're trying to say
all the time.
How do doctors explain
that? 3 years.
Yeah. How do doctors explain that?
Well, that's the thing. That's why we do need more people to research. And if you think about it globally, if there's around 100 people in all the billions of people that we have, and that's just reported, because I know many people that they haven't reported anything. For 7 years, I've gone through people blaming it on my hormones or blaming it on I need anxiety medication, all these other things. But there was a catalyst. There's always a catalyst. People, all of us report there was a brain trauma of some sort, even if it was, even the lady with the dental surgery, she actually had, you know, a drug that altered her mind, put her out. So everything has a catalyst. No one has a story that, like, they want to think. Like, am I allowed to mention other news media outlets?
Yeah, that's fine. Weird. I don't care. Yeah.
Well, a lot of my friends and I were actually quite offended, because on the Live with Kelly and Ryan show, they got a hold of my story. I did not talk to them. So I guess they decided to read it on their morning show. They literally, Kelly ended up saying she would like to throw herself down the stairs in order to sound like me. And Ryan said, oh, that's kind of like Madonna and other people when they live someplace, they have that accent. That's greatly offensive. We have to struggle so hard. There are people who lose their jobs because their voice is switched so much. These people have families. They have children. They have lives they'd like to lead. But you got to get, we have the accent. Why? Because we have neurological issues that are going on and no one can really explain them.
I mean, it's really...
But it was very hard.
I will tell you this, Michelle. I mean, you know, the British accent does, I mean, there's worse accents to have. And, you know, so it's if you're looking at it from the outside and you're like, oh, if I could pick an accent, people will think I'm smarter and everything else. However... what we, you know, if you joke like that, what you don't recognize is this isn't your choice. And I read something from you. You said that you watch videos of you with your kids and it's difficult. Mm-hmm. Can you explain that?
You know, I am a believer in the Lord. And when I was 13 years old, the Lord told me about my first daughter that would be born. I wrote it in a little journal like a little girl does. And when I got older, I had that child, and she is now 22 years old. But all of my children, he told me their names. And particularly, I have twin boys that are 14 now. I name them Tyler and Tyson. I can no longer say the R on the end of the name. And while everyone would be like, that's such a silly thing to be upset about, I named him because his name, that meant builder. Like the Lord, he has this build thing in him. And so for me, speaking destiny over my son, it was very important to name him what I felt God told me to name him in prayer. So now when I can't simply pronounce some of the children's names when I say them, they don't sound like my heart said them while they were in my womb. And so there's a little bit of a grief there because I did not choose for this to happen to me. I'm also a survivor of sexual assault. While it's not as drastic and as violent in that manner, it was taken from me. And that's what people lose about this whole thing. There are so many thousands of jokes on the internet and terrible things going on. I didn't do this on purpose. No one did.
Michelle, I'm thrilled to talk to you and to get your perspective on this. I hear that you and your husband are fans of the show and listen to the show.
Oh, good Lord. No, I don't have a husband.
Oh, you
he
don't have
a nasty rumor.
Oh, really? I thought, wow. Okay, well, then you're available.
People are lying to us, apparently.
My brother. Listen,
oh, your brother. Okay.
Yeah. And he's listened to you for so many years. He's like running around here like a little, he has a man crush or something. He's so excited.
Well,
he's my younger brother, he'll probably kill me.
Well, thank you so much. And I can't imagine. And we'd love to hear from you again. If it goes away, we'd love to hear from you. And if anybody happens to be listening and has this, do you have a way for people to contact you?
Well, there are some different groups that people have sprung up. One way to contact me, obviously, is just through website. You can go to butterfly25.com. It's really easy. And I try to lead people in the right direction. I thank you for helping me give a voice to it, but it's really about chronic illness and invisible illnesses. There's so many.
I know.
So we just thank you for this opportunity to talk about it. But
thank you so much, Michelle.
Thank you so much.
God bless you.
Okay.
Thank you so much.
God bless you too, Sarah.
You bet.
All right. Bye-bye.
I'm just happy she was mad at Kelly and Ryan. It's like the first time we've ever had one of these things that we weren't the ones people were mad at.
She said that, I was like, what did we say? What did we say? All right, anyway. There's one thing that you really need to understand right now. We are more vulnerable to disaster than ever before. If you look at the federal government as the first responder, FEMA in December admitted failure. They said FEMA is broke and broken, and Americans need to prepare for the next disaster because we will not be able to provide. That was pretty shocking. They said it right before Christmas, so nobody paid attention. Here's what I need you to do. I need you to be prepared. 2-week emergency food supply is only now $67. That's breakfast, lunch, and dinner for one for 2 weeks for $67. That's incredible, and it's a $50 savings. So 2 weeks emergency food for breakfast, lunch, and dinner, one person, $67. You save $50. You can order more than one, obviously, but this is the easy way to at least have something that's grab and go. So God forbid something happens, you're not having to worry about where do we have the money to even eat. Preparewithglenn.com. Go there now. Preparewithglenn.com. This is only happening this week. 2 weeks for $67. Preparewithglenn.com. 800-977-0542. Preparewithglenn.com.
Glenn Beck. Mercury. Glenn Beck.
Sarah, do we have the audio and video of Michelle Myers? Her brother took a videotape. Go ahead and roll a little bit of this. This is her apparently.
Please help me, Chris. Help me, Chris. Help me.
This
help
is her.
Me!
Okay, this is her.
Oh, God.
In the hospital. It causes extraordinary pain. Imagine that.
Is there a nurse?
I can't imagine that. And, you know, sometimes the reason why she wanted to come on is because she wanted to talk about people with undiagnosed, you know, diseases and people who are going from doctor to doctor and they can't find out what is wrong with them. And I will tell you, I have a video similar, not that intense, similar to that from when I was under with anesthesia. My wife took a video of it. My doctor was like, okay, well, yeah, all right. Okay. You got, you know, this and that. And, you know, not knowing what it was, I'm going in for some surgery for something else. And under anesthesia, I start to come out and it just, the pain shoots off the charts that I normally have, not from surgery. And I finally came conscious and he was, and all the nurses were holding me down and everything else. And I'm like, okay, what? He said, okay, I believe you. And my wife captured it on video. And so we could take it to other doctors because they think that you're faking it. And you know, the only way I can prove it is now with that video going, look, I'm not conscious. There's no way I did that. This is what happens to me. And it's horrible because you go from doctor to doctor and they just don't know. And she wanted to come on because if you're in that situation, and I wanted to have her on for this, don't give up. Don't give up. It's, you know, the doctors only know what doctors know. And there is hope. Back in a minute.
Glenn Beck. Mercury. This is the Glenn Beck Program.
Well, welcome Pat Gray into the studio.
Thank you.
Gray Unleashed in about a half hour on the Blaze Radio
Network. Could we just get something clear?
Yeah.
It's not about Democrats and Republicans. This is a nonpartisan issue. It is a nonpartisan issue. It's not right. about Democrats or Republicans.
Okay.
It's not about left and right.
Uh-huh.
It's about right and wrong. Okay. This is about stopping this. This is about doings. Can we finally do something? Can we do something to finally stop the slaughter? Can we do something?
Would you say the sense needed to do something is common?
Common sense is a great phrase. Thank you.
May I just point out, the last time there was a big tragedy that we just did something,
mm-hmm.
we went to war.
Yeah.
And 18 years or 17,
happy about it.
Yeah, 17 years later, we might have wanted to spend a few more minutes on that. I'm just saying it.
I'm a little concerned about this because this involves kids marching on Washington now next month, I guess.
It's going to be huge.
That's going to be huge. And you've got these Parkland kids out there who are 16 years old and they know, right? They know better than the adults. I just saw an interview where the adults are screwing things up. The adults can't get this done. Oh, okay. Yeah, let's listen to the teenagers with all their life experience. Let's do that now. That's a brilliant idea.
It's not usually a good way to solve a problem.
Any problem, let alone this one.
If I may quote Al Gore and the progressives, there are things
our kids know
that your parents just don't know.
Oh, and that's going to be encouraged.
Oh, yeah. I will tell you this. I had a conversation with my family this weekend. It's not unusual for me to say these things, but I said, kids, I think we're on the verge of losing the Second Amendment. It may mean civil war. I'm not sure what it means.
Glenn, we all love the Second Amendment. Nobody likes the Second Amendment more than I do.
Really?
But
what?
We've got to do something, Stu.
Well, there's nobody that understands and loves rights more than me. The Bill of Rights and the Second Amendment. But there are some mm-hmm. rights that we may have to mm-hmm. lose.
Well, yeah. there are restrictions on all of these rights. None of these rights are infinite. None of these rights are all inclusive.
For example, the Second Amendment, sure, it's about bearing arms. Mm-hmm. But, you know, what's to say if we had a little bit of a restriction in which you could not bear arms any longer?
Right.
What if something like that was considered?
Yeah, I know the phrase is shall not be infringed, but what if we just infringe a little bit?
Right, well, yeah, what if we just take the word not out? It shall be infringed.
Well, hang on,
it works perfectly.
Hang on just a second. Let's find some common ground here.
Okay.
I am willing, and I think it's sane and common sense to say, and I don't know the ramifications, but to say this: let's have a serious conversation about a way to have a restraining order on guns, or the doctors are concerned about you with guns, to make sure that that's reported so you can't have access to guns, at least for a while.
That goes through a court process.
Goes through a court process. Yeah. So something that is clearly put out.
Mm. So, like, if you've got mental illness,
yes,
then we go through a doctor.
And yes.
But how does that affect the family members with guns in your house?
Right. That's because I
don't know. That's why
rule.
I say. That's why yeah. I said we have to.
I know.
We have to have that discussion.
Right. There's a lot there to be hashed out.
There is.
And I think they were talking about this. I think California has something like this. David French had written a column about this recently, saying that that's something maybe conservatives could get on board with, which is just a, like, just like you have like a I mean, and look, there's always opportunity for abuse with these things.
Yes.
It's something you have to acknowledge. But like, just like you'd have a restraining order against an abusive husband who's not convicted necessarily of the crime yet, but there's a scare, so there's a temporary restraining order to keep that person away from you. Same thing if you start posting internet, you know, YouTube comments that saying, I'm going to be a school shooter, maybe there would be at least a temporary way to act on that. Because right now, you know, unless you do something, unless you're convicted of a crime,
can't do
it's not going to go away. So I can understand that. Makes me very nervous, though, I will say. I mean, the slippery slope is there.
They had the guy's name. They had his statement.
Yeah.
They couldn't find him.
And then they called.
No. They had two times. They couldn't find him once, but then they got a tip from somebody who...
This broke after the show on Friday.
Oh.
The guy...
They got a tip.
They got a tip from someone in Florida who said, I know this person. Here is his name. He has these guns.
And they still didn't do it.
He is...
Oh, my gosh.
He is... I think he's going to shoot up. Yeah, and what the issue was, and the FBI admitted this, we didn't follow protocol. It should have been forwarded to the Miami Bureau.
What are you supposed to do then? I mean, you had the power to follow up on a guy, and you didn't do it.
So here's the problem.
Wow.
If they would have followed protocol, they would have had this guy. If they would have followed protocol in the Air Force, we wouldn't have had the Texas shooter.
Yes.
You know, I mean, if you just follow protocol... How many of these things are taken off?
And if you're not going to follow protocol,
what does it matter if you ban guns?
Doesn't matter.
It doesn't matter. Yeah.
It doesn't matter. And they're talking about improved background checks. I'm not sure what that means, but I don't mind if you improve the background check depending on what that entails. And if you're talking about you got to wait 2 weeks or 7 weeks or 6 months or something, then that's a problem.
And it seems like too, it would have a further reaching, right? Like they would look into more records and find more people that were not qualified.
And then you're into the HIPAA laws, which came from Hillary Clinton. So you talk to her about that. You can't really release these records to people.
Right. I mean,
it's against
the law. There should be a tripwire that somebody is dangerous. You know, if a doctor is going through therapy and they're like, he should not be around guns, then, you know, that should be put on with a time, you know, variant. Somebody has to take it off, you know, that it alerts the doctor at some point every 3 months or something. So he has to continue to renew it or it falls off. But there should be something there that if you're under psychiatric care, that it is reported.
Yeah.
This entire strategy, though, from the left when it comes to these incidents, because they're not trying to solve any of these other problems. They're only going after guns. Why? Because that's their goal. It has nothing to do, I don't think, with the victims. It has to do with them going after this. And I think like their strategy is wait for the tides of emotion to eventually solve this problem for them.
Yeah. And that's because what's happening now.
Yeah, I mean,
these kids is
a good example of it. Like, they're using these kids to try to make the rest of the country emotional so they start believing whatever the left believes.
So, despicable.
So the FBI pulled in four kids on, what was it, Friday? Brought in four kids. One was a teenager, I think, from Washington State. His grandmother had read his diary where he was making a list.
We talked about that. Yeah.
And so they arrested four kids on, I think, Thursday night or Friday after the shooting. All this is going to take is, you know, one or two really bad shootings. And I just don't think you're going to,
it spirals out of control.
Well, this is an interesting, cause I thought about this and this is a real fear point. If you actually care about the Second Amendment, think about the changes that have happened on our political divides here. You know, things like, you know, both sides have switched on who likes Russia and who doesn't, right? DACA was a thing that you could not even think about endorsing just a few years ago or a few months ago as a conservative. And now it's the position of the party, right? These things happen fast. And I think a lot of times these big political positions that look like their principles, gay marriage for the Democrats.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Hillary Clinton got on stage and said it's a foundational moral principle of mine that marriage is between a man and a woman. And then it's not. Right? Mm-hmm. All of a sudden, they're fighting completely on the other side of that. Because of the winds of change. And this is one of those things that one of the reasons for that is, A, just the generic political partisanship, right? Where people just pick their sides and they fight against each other. And B,
except not in this case too, because this isn't about partisanship.
This is not about
Republican and Democrat.
And the other side is just what side is the winning argument? Where do you find the win here?
Mm-hmm.
And with enough emotion and enough polling, the win here will be on the side of take guns away.
Well, that's what happened in Australia.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Because it Great wasn't Britain. Enshrined as a constitutional right. It stopped them so far, but I don't think it's going to last.
So did anyone else have this conversation? Because you would never get it through as to repeal the amendment. You'd never get it through because it would take too long. It's too long of a process. Yeah. Everything is made to slow things down. Mm-hmm. But they did prohibition.
They've done it before.
And
they understand how most Americans feel about the Second Amendment and the Constitution.
Mm-hmm.
They know that that's not a winning strategy. That's why everybody starts it out with, I love the Second Amendment as much as the next guy, but.
Yeah.
So they won't go that route.
I mean, if they can take the Second Amendment out and do it constitutionally, we're in a whole different world. You'll start to lose all kinds of rights. However, did anybody else think this weekend, gosh, what do I do? They come knocking at your door for guns. What do you do? Because I'm not going to shoot people.
No, I'm not either.
But I'm not going to give them up. I don't know where that leaves you. And
jail.
And which, yeah, I think it does. And then, and then what? I mean, how many people would go to jail? You know, it's kind of like, I'm small government, you know, low taxes. I'm conservative constitutionalist. Yeah, right. Well, let's look at the last few elections. You know, how many people really are going to stand
totally committed
to the Constitution who mm-hmm. aren't nut jobs,
mm-hmm.
who aren't like, revolution. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and no one seems to care about it. I think so far, traditionally, it's been a Republican position to defend the Second Amendment. But when it's not, which could happen, as we have to acknowledge today, this could happen at any minute that Republicans become the anti-gun party, at any minute. So, I mean, because there's not a principle there, as we've seen. That's not what it's about. So at some point that could switch, and that is, then you're going to lose these rights. Because I think mm-hmm. you're right, repealing the Second Amendment would be insanely difficult. I wonder, though, how difficult it would be for them to pass essentially another amendment to modify the Second Amendment. If they went after certain parts of gun ownership, it would start taking a long time. But yeah. I bet you it would have the overwhelming support in the polls. I bet you they could go after it and have a good... Because I think the issue with the Second Amendment now is even if they pass one of these laws, with the court the way it's made up, there's a good chance it gets overturned anyway as unconstitutional.
But the path of least resistance is the continuation of we've got to do something. We've got to do common sense reform. And that's how they
The using of children.
Can and the march. Imagine, oh, my
can
gosh.
Can you imagine if high school students would have organized themselves to march against... You know, the debt under Obama, which affects them. Enough mm-hmm. of this debt. If that would have been organized at all.
No, I mean, whatever level it was organized, turned into what we would say the Tea Party that won two landslide elections.
I know that. But think of this. Remember what they said? They're using their children. Yeah. They're mm-hmm. abusing their children with it. What about this? Are those kids going to bust themselves there? Are they organizing this? Or are there other parties that are going to be helping organize that? You can guarantee.
Oh, Michael Bloomberg's organization.
Oh, yeah.
You know they're pumping millions into this.
Yeah. I'm sure we're going to be spending some time talking about this tonight at 5:30 on the news and why it matters. I don't think there's much in the news today that matters more than mm-hmm. guns and gun control. But we'll talk about that, and Pat's going to be talking about it on his show coming up in a few minutes as well.
You watch both of those shows, by the way, with your subscription to the Blaze TV. The news and why it matters is at 5:30 p.m. The Pat Gray Unleashed is coming up here in just a few moments on both Blaze Radio and TV.
Just when you thought cyber criminals couldn't stoop any lower, they're now stealing and selling social security numbers and other personal information of infants. Why? Well, because you can take out a mortgage, apply for credit cards, receive government benefits, and you can live as that person for years. Then when your children grow up and they start to apply for like a driver's license, they realize, wait, I'm in how much debt? Hold it, what? There are so many threats now in today's connected world, and it takes one weak link for criminals to get in. Good thing The new improved LifeLock Identity Theft Protection adds more power, the power of Norton Security, to help protect you against the threats on your identity and your devices that you can't easily see or fix on your own. And if there's a problem, their agents work to fix it. Now, nobody can stop every cyber threat, prevent all identity theft, or monitor all transactions, but LifeLock with Norton Security can uncover the threats that you're going to miss. So go to LifeLock.com or call 1-800-LIFELOCK. Use the promo code BECK. Get an extra 10% off your first year. That's promo code BECK at 1-800-LIFELOCK or LifeLock.com.
Glenn Beck, Mercury. Glenn Beck.
I want to urge you to go to Amazon.com right now and buy the book Control, Exposing the Truth About Guns. This is a book that I wrote when, you know, everybody was saying that Obama was going to come for the guns, and we saw the writing on the wall, and it's not Obama. It is the progressive left. They will not stop until the Second Amendment is not just infringed but obliterated. And if you're going to have this argument, and believe me, I fear that this could be a civil war if things continue to spiral. I hope to God not. And I don't know what to even say about that. But if you are going to have an argument over it, you must be educated. Control was co-written. I had several people helping out. One of them is Lieutenant Colonel David Grossman, who is just he's the leader in the Pentagon about killing and about weapons. And then also John Lott helped write this. So this is the definitive answer to all of the arguments that you're going to hear. Please go to Amazon and grab it now. It's my book, Control, Exposing the Truth About Guns. And we will see you tonight on The Blaze with more on that at 5 and 5:30, only on The Blaze TV.
Glenn Beck, Mercury.